from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Here's Saul Tlamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Baseball isn't boring. Once again, we know that because we've been watching baseball here at spring training. And we've been doing podcasts. We'll continue to do podcasts every single day. We're going to keep them coming. So subscribe to this baby. Listen to it. Rate, review, buy the t-shirts. Buy the book, A Damn Near Perfect Game. It came out this week and it's red hot. People are talking about this book. But we'll get to that a little bit later. Right now we want to talk about what's right in front of us in that spring training. What's going on with the great game of baseball? There's no better person for me to catch up with than a guy who was on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast in the off season. Was excellent talking about where people might land. I thought he had some great insight. And he has great insight right now because he is in the know when it comes to everything with baseball teams. Buster Olney of ESPN. Buster's always a good guy to chop it up with when it comes to what is what in the world of baseball. And that's exactly what we did. We sat here at JetBlue Park. Spring training, Buster is touring around with ESPN, the broadcast, obviously sideline reporter as well. So a lot of good stuff, and so a lot of good stuff to talk about. Here you go. Here's Buster Olney. All right, baseball isn't boring once again. We've done it once, and we're going to do it again. Buster Olney, but we're doing it in person here at spring training. Buster, what's going on?
Hey, Rob, how are you?
I couldn't be any better. It's nice out, and the great game of baseball is fast, is quick. It's fun to watch. right? I mean, am I wrong?
No. You know, Tim Kirchner and I have been having this running conversation. He, of course, works with me at ESPN about how players are processing all these rule changes. And I told him on Monday that my perception is about two-thirds of the players are like, hey, this is pretty cool. You know, Paul Goldschmidt, Carlos Correa, Vinny Pascantino of the Royals. And he told me, he said 50-50. Well, today, before I saw him in the Red Sox clubhouse, he goes, you know what? I'm talking to more players. I'm beyond you. Ooh. I think it's like beyond 70% now in terms of players liking these rules. I think they love the pace. I think some players might not necessarily feel comfortable. Alec Boehm of the Phillies today told me he's kind of up in the air. Pete Alonso is another guy. But I think by and large, players absolutely love the pace.
All right, pitchers or hitters? Who are more uncomfortable right now?
Well, I think hitters, actually. I think pitchers are adapting faster. You know, we in the media are focusing more on guys like Kenley Jansen with their deliveries, Kevin Gausman, but it's the hitters that you can see, like, they've gotten into the habit, the Dustin Pedroia habit of undoing their gloves and thinking through the pitch selection and using that time to process what's going to come next. And now I think they're on their heels a little bit. So some of the rule changes, the defensive shifts, I think limited throws to first base, they're going to help offense. But generally speaking, I think that the pitch clock is going to help pitchers.
Okay, this is one of the fascinating things that I've sort of been trying to get my head around watching the first two games, broadcasting the first two games that I did this spring. The question of will there be more offense or less offense? The obvious answer, a lot of people believe there was going to be more offense, less shifts, more stolen bases. But here's the thing, Buster, and you tell me if I'm full of hooey. It's fine if you do. But I feel like the hitters are going to be rushed and a little bit more frenetic. So I think at least initially there's going to be that lack of production because of that. Maybe I'm wrong.
Can I quote you?
Yeah.
Okay, you're full of hooey.
Oh, nice. Okay, I like it.
No, I think you're right at the beginning. And I mentioned, I think that the advantage with the pitch clock is going to be with the pitchers. But, you know, we had the exhibition game the other day on television, Cardinals and Mets. There were six or seven hits that went through the infield that would have been easy outs. You know, a guy standing behind second base. I think the defensive shift metrics had gotten so acute and were so well executed that it took a big hit with the offense. So if you pull, you know, not only include the pitch clock, but you also include the restrictions on defensive shifts, I think offensive numbers are going to go up. I think the more guys are going to try to steal. I think teams, you're going to see some gamesmanship with all that.
You've convinced me. I have an open mind. I mean, we're so early. We're early March. I'm very wishy-washy. I'm trying to get my head around all of this. So when you've been to camps, you're going through spring training. Today we're sitting here at JetBlue Park. Give me some of your takeaways.
So today, you know, it was the first time I saw Rafael Devers since he signed his contract, and he's one of my favorite guys, as he is everybody. And I congratulate him on it and ask him what the first thing he bought was to celebrate. And then after we got done that conversation, he looked at me and said, "How good do you think we're going to be?" And I said, "I don't think you're going to be very good. I think you're going to have some injury issues." And we talked about it, about the team. And look, if everything goes right, let's say Chris Sale comes back and he's Chris Sale, and Nick Pivetta continues to blossom as this guy who, you know, is a front-end rotation. They stay healthy. Kike Hernandez stays on the field. Justin Turner stays in the lineup. Yeah, they'll be better than what idiots like me expect. But you and I have been around a long time, and we know that depth matters. And that's my concern for this team for this year. And I also wonder if you gave truth serum, you know, to Haim and the folks who run the front office, if they get off to a slow start, do we think there's a chance they're going to be selling some pieces and parts at the trade deadline? I do, after what we saw with Christian Vasquez last year.
Yeah, it's 2023 Red Sox, maybe? Question mark. I mean, it's really that case. And you know how it is in spring training. And we heard this from Alex Cora earlier today about, hey, I'm getting to sleep. I feel good about the team. Everyone's doing their job. And everyone's optimistic about everything. Everyone's seeing the best in everything right now. The Pittsburgh Pirates are seeing the best in the Pittsburgh Pirates, unless I'm wrong.
You know. Well, I mean, a great example of what you're talking about are the Dodgers, right? Yeah. They had the master plan. They were ready to go, and it was feeling good. They got some depth. They got some young players ascending. Gavin Lux blows out his knee. Everything has changed. Mm-hmm. Like, their camp is completely altered. And I'm not going to mention any specific names here because I don't want to – I hate even putting a thought out there. But all it takes is one or two injuries, and the context will change completely. And let's face it. For the Red Sox, the bar is so high because you're in the American League East. You have a Yankee team which is loaded. They got Aaron Judge back. You know, they could probably win 100 games again this year. The Blue Jays are really good. The Rays are really good. The Orioles are really good. So it's going to be a challenge, and the margin for error for the Red Sox is so thin. That's why I said to Rafi what I said.
Did he look at you? Did he say,
"Well"? He was surprised, which made me happy.
I bet he chuckled, right?
He was like, "Really?" Genuinely surprised, which is cool, because what that means is he really believes in the players and the team, and that's where you want him to be, because you and I have had conversations with veterans early in spring training, and they're like, "What do you think?" And they look at you like, "Yeah, we suck."
Yeah.
I mean, he was genuinely surprised when I told him that I thought it was going
to
be a struggle.
Well, the biggest thing, when you walk in that clubhouse, and I'd be anxious to get your sort of take on it, it's unlike any other Red Sox clubhouse that I've walked into, honestly, and since this ownership group took over, which is, you don't have the marquee names. And I said this to other people, you have the two locker guys. You know, the Stars have two lockers. The guys, Devers is a two locker guy, good for him. Pedroia, Bogarts, Ortiz, two locker guys. Kike Hernandez is a two locker guy now. But you wouldn't say that normally in a Red Sox world that would be the case. Conversely, I walked into the San Diego Padres clubhouse the other day. Ooh. Yeah, holy mackerel. I'm like,
you got to build another clubhouse to have the two locker guys.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I don't know if anybody did. And I'm sitting there talking to Bogarts, and, you know, Juan Soto's chair is to the left of me. Nelson Cruz is to the right of me. And
how about Manny Machado?
Manny Machado. Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit. So – What's your take on, listen, 11-year contract for you, 11-year contract for me, 11-year contract for everybody. What's your take on what the Padres are doing? Because I think that it's great. We have the Phillies sitting right in front of us. They're sort of a poor man's Padres, I guess, the Mets.
Rich man's Padres, I'd say.
Rich man Padres. So what's your take on that?
So I had a conversation with Peter Seidler, the owner of the Padres, in the first week of last year's regular season. We're at Petco Park, and I just said, hey, a lot of teams are wondering, you're outspending your revenues. Mm-hmm. And he just looked at me, and he was like, well, we'll be fine. And I, you know, the comparison...
Sounds like what I said to my wife.
Right. The comparison I've been making... You know, when you hear a team say, you know, the Baltimore Orioles, for example, they've been tanking for 5 years. Their payroll's only $67 million. They're talking about, I don't know if we can afford to add a pitcher for $10 million. Yeah, yeah. It sounds like a millionaire complaining about the cost of a swimming pool to some degree.
Yeah.
Is it possible that the Padres are outspending their revenue? Yeah. And I keep on hearing that from other teams. But on the other hand, with franchise values going up, early in a labor agreement, 5 years of labor peace, I personally think you're going to see a spike in television numbers because these new rules you're going to have in place. If the Orioles spent another $40 million, would they be okay?
Yeah,
And it does bother me that, you know, the owners of the Padres and the Mets get the most scrutiny when for the last 10 years, and other owners are up in arms, I'm like, hey, the last decade we've seen example after example of teams tanking.
Yep.
How about forming a special committee to talk about a team borrowing on the credibility of the rest of the sport?
Yeah, that's, I couldn't say any better. And you bring up a good point about the labor agreement, because I think people forget where we were 1 year ago today. I looked this up today because my co-author Joe Kelly did an op-ed for the LA Times on March 3rd about baseball. I remember, I was like, oh, it seems like right around this time, because that was the end of Jupiter, those meetings in Jupiter. And think about where baseball was and the perception of baseball and all of it 1 year ago. So now we flash forward to right now, and we have Seidler, we have Cohen, we have this, we have, like you said, TV ratings I think will be up. From your perspective, you look back from where it is was a year ago to now, what is the thing that surprised, or does anything surprise you? Is baseball where you thought it would be?
I don't think anybody anticipated the huge spike in salaries. I mean, even before this last offseason, when you had those major roster signings, the Associated Press printed the other day, average salary for players last year went up 14.8%. Mm. You know and I know that the guys who got hurt in the last 5 or 6 years were guys in the middle class. Well, those guys this winter, they got paid, mm-hmm. right? You know, Sean Manaea, who had a down year last year in San Diego, he had 2 years and $25 million. So those guys are now being rewarded. That's a surprise to me. Mm-hmm. Steve Cohen, when I was in the Mets camp last week, their owner was talking about how last summer he was saying to other owners, you know what? Inflation is affecting a lot of prices. Mm-hmm. Do you think inflation will affect the players' salaries? The answer clearly is yes. I do hope that the two sides can actually begin to develop this wonderful collaborative relationship where they can work together and promote players, because you got a Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
You have a Julio Rodriguez. You have, I don't know if you've seen Jordan Walker, the Cardinals. Oh,
yeah,
my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's amazing. The sport's in a position where it can really grow. My experience covering the game for a lot of years tells me it won't. Yeah. That they won't take advantage of it in the way that probably would be best for the game.
Well, it comes back to the rules things. That was a microcosm of the fractured relationship. The players were, when that came down, the players were upset. Why were they upset? Not necessarily even because of the rules. It was because they felt hey, how dare you, ownership, try to force something without having more conversation. You know,
I would say this, though, when that decision came down, we heard that the players were unanimous. They didn't want the new rules. It actually reminded me of the steroid testing issue in 2002, where the union leadership was like, well, never had steroid testing, privacy rights. And you talk to individual players at that time, you know, one on one, and they were like, yeah, we need drug testing. When you talk to individual players last year, during the course of the winter, this spring, and you ask them about these rule changes, they're like, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
This is great.
Well, I think a lot of, like you said, a lot of those guys were screaming and yelling back in September, right now are like, oh, I get to go home? What?
What's right, exactly. That's exactly right. So I think the players have embraced it, and I think they were ahead of their leadership in recognizing how much better this could be.
So the simplistic way to look at what baseball is predictions. We all predict, like to do predictions. It'd be in early February, we do predictions. Mid-February, we do predictions. From what you thought heading in, and I know this is crazy early, we have a lot of guys hitting straight balls right down the middle and saying, oh my goodness, they're going to have a great year. No, that just wait a couple weeks to see actually if guys can hit real pitches. But has anything changed your mind about where any team is going to finish?
The Dodgers, the injury to Lux is a huge deal. Like, what's distinguished the Dodgers the last 10 years is the depth. Well, they're, for the first time in a long time, they don't have the depth to cover this injury. And they are scrambling. And so for that reason, I'm picking the Padres. Not only win the West, I've got them winning the World Series. And I've got them, the Astros, who I think are loaded. When you're around that camp and you add Jose Abreu into their lineup, I think they're phenomenal. I think they're going back to the World Series, but San Diego's going to win it.
Is there any other teams where you're hearing that, hey, this is interesting what's going on there? Like, for instance, I just came from the White Sox camp, and, you know, Pedro Grifol is trying to change the mindset there from what it was with Tony La Russa. I mean, and I think that he's doing it in a way where it's just very, very, you know, very regimented, very strict, and probably what a lot of guys aren't used to, but you have to change, you underachieve. So whatever you're doing, you have to do something differently. I don't know if it's that example or if there's another example of other camps that you're hearing, they're doing things differently there.
Well, and I think you'd agree with me on this. Writers, we get caught up in the excitement of camps.
Yeah.
You know, every year I'll get caught up in the excitement of a particular camp. I haven't seen the Mariners in person this spring. I think they're a team that's really growing. They're an excellent team. That's a team that I'm really going to be curious about during the course of the year. I hear about the White Sox because there were a lot of stories about the perceived disconnect among the players with Tony La Russa. You know, that he... Hall of Fame manager. I think he's the greatest manager in baseball history, but there definitely was something there. There's no doubt about it. So those are interesting. And just being down here in Fort Myers, being around the Twins.
Yeah.
You know, Carlos Correa had this unprecedented winter, has two deals blown up by failed physicals. And, excuse me, he has two failed physicals. And when he walked into camp this year, it was like, I'm in. Like, I'm here. He's put all that behind him. And the feeling is, you know what? However I got here, this is my team, and I want to win. And in the American League Central, that can be difference-making because it's not a division of a lot of great teams.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I was over at the Twins for a day, and Correa's presence, and you talk to the writers there, you talk to the players, presence is, there's no question. I mean, he's available. He likes to talk baseball. He's talking to players. All you could see in that just that one day. A guy like Christian Vasquez goes over there, and obviously, like, he's a veteran that can't hurt either. But, you know, in Seattle, we had Jerry DePoto on the podcast last week, and it was interesting, Buster, because he's talked about how, you know, he was always trading, trying to find the best talent. Now, this is about finding the best fits with the talent, which is, for a GM, it must feel good to get to that point. And we'll see if they actually are at that point. I think they are.
Well, and the fact that you have Julio Rodriguez and you have this great pitching staff, it's a tremendous start. I still think Houston's better than they are. But that, to me, you can make a case by the end of the year, depending on how Yankees' injuries go, that they could be the second-best team in the American League.
So I said I love this argument. You start a team right now. You have one player start a team.
Wow.
Okay. All right. So this is, I always say this, the first time.
Are you trying to win this year? Are you trying to win?
No. You're building a franchise. And I get it. Like, for baseball, you need nine players. You need a bench and everything else. But I always remember this question was posed to Theo Epstein in 2005 when he was on his hiatus. And in 2005, it was at a charity event. He said Felix Hernandez, which, I mean, there's no wrong answer. There's a lot of right answers. There's no wrong answer. But I'm saying this because my answer is Julio Rodriguez. And people, immediately when I say that, they jump and say, Juan Soto. So, again, no wrong answers. Do you have someone?
Boy, you're hitting me cold on that one. I think Julio Rodriguez is a great candidate. I think Juan Soto is a great candidate. I am curious to see Jordan Walker of the Cardinals this year. You know, Skip Schumacher, who was with the Padres when Fernando Tatis Jr. came up, said that Jordan Walker reminds him of Fernando Tatis Jr. in terms of the impact he's going to make. I would tend to lean towards shortstops, middle of the
– Good one, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, among those guys, boy, if you're starting a franchise today – That is a hard one. That's a great question.
Carlos Correa with better ankles.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, Carlos, but you know, 28 now, and yeah, 20, he's he's on the high side. So you're right. If you're investing in a really young player, well, you know what? I mean, we're both idiots. It should be Shohei Ohtani. Because you're talking
So that's another one. I don't think I'm an idiot. Well, I am an idiot, but I'll say this, because I'm not. Yes, for the next couple of years, sure.
Yeah,
but for the long haul, I don't know.
Okay, so if you're running a team and you're trying to build going forward, is there any greater insurance policy than what Ohtani presents in terms of performance? Because if today he blows out his elbow, oh, guess what? You have a top five slugger in baseball, right? Let's say that he just decides, you know, I don't like this hitting thing anymore. You still have a top five pitcher. You've got one guy presenting those two players. You have to pick him first.
You know what? You've already changed my mind. I'm so wishy-washy today. And another factor I didn't even introduce in the argument, which is, and this is the reason why he's going to get $500 million, is because if I'm starting a team, I also have to sell tickets. I also have marketing.
Right.
There is nobody better for the business of baseball than Shohei Ohtani.
Right. And you're selling him short of $500 million, by the way.
Ooh, I like this.
The operative numbers, if you had asked me a year ago, the operative numbers would have been five, as in $50 million plus or $500 million plus. The operative numbers with Ohtani, I believe, with the Mets involved. Clearly, Billy Epler, former GM of the Angels, who convinced Ohtani to go to the Angels, now with the Mets and with the Dodgers, who slashed their payroll. The internal conversation is, we're going after Ohtani. Yeah. A bidding war between those two teams. Watch the number six.
Oh, six. Wow. Wow. I love it. This is going to keep it going. All right, Buster. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Let's go watch a great game of baseball.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.